Well, this morning we are continuing a summer series today called Anchors, where we're looking at key verses from Scripture that anchor our faith, and I'm excited to be sharing with you this morning a few verses from Mark that have done just that for me. We have an issue of authority in America, and I think really it's human nature in general, but our culture is suffering from this specifically right now. Everyone wants to be able to define every part of life in their own terms, and we don't want any outside authority telling us what to do. So you hear things like, this is right for me, or this is my truth, and that kind of creeps into faith. And you hear things like, this is who Jesus is to me, or this is how I see God. And we don't want to submit to any outside authority that would tell us, this is how reality really is, regardless of how you feel about it. This is real. We don't like that, because who gets to decide what is reality? Who gets to decide whose authority counts? It's always what the question of authority comes down to, is who gets to decide. And Christianity is based on the idea that God has spoken and he has revealed himself, and that he can be known because he has told us who he is. So God's revealed himself personally to Israel, to the prophets, through the scriptures, and ultimately he's revealed himself through Jesus and through the scriptural testimony about Jesus. So here's how we get to our anchor verse this morning. I think for faith to become real, for it to become live, for it to become the kind of thing that changes us, at some point we all have to be confronted with the truth of Jesus' authority and who he is and what he has asked of us to become his followers. Who does Jesus really say he is? What does he really want from us if we're his followers, if we're Christians? What does that mean for our lives? So the big idea this morning is this. If Scripture is true about who Jesus is and what Jesus said about following him, it makes no sense to ignore what he said and to keep on living life as usual. Because Jesus says some things in these verses that we're about to look at that really are pretty radical, and we've got to be changed by this if we are his followers. So let's get right to the text. This is Jesus speaking in Mark 8, 34 through 35. He said, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So what does it mean to be a Christian? We like to say it means that we're followers of Jesus. We like to say that being a Christian means that God has saved us. You see both of those right there in that passage. Followers of Jesus, God has saved us. But what does that actually mean? Jesus has some specific and hard things to say here about what following him looks like. And we have an amazing capacity to just move past a text like this and not consider fully what it means or what we need to do about it as far as our lives go. We don't want to deal with texts like this. It's a very jolting verse when you consider what is being said, and you can't just explain it away as an exaggeration of Jesus. He says that in order to follow him, we have to deny ourselves, we have to take up our cross, and we have to lose our life for his sake and for the gospel's sake. And we can't just move past this text. Either we obey this, we care about the things that it says, or we don't really have the faith that we claim that we have. Because the thing about a verse like this is it has to mean something. Okay, it has to mean something. Think about this. Even if it doesn't mean that we literally have to lose our physical life, if Jesus' point is that we have to do something that's like losing our life, that's still a pretty huge deal. That should still stop us in our tracks and say, I need to understand what Jesus, who I claim is my Lord, my King, is saying in this verse. You don't just move past a text like this without understanding it. That's why this has been an anchor verse for me. This is a verse that confronts us with the authority of who Jesus is when he says we have to lose our life to follow him. And there was a time for me when I came to this verse and I realized that whatever was happening in my Christian life, I knew it didn't look like that. I knew that there was no way I could justify to myself that I was losing my life for Christ. And either I needed to start doing that, to start working on figuring out what it means and how do I lose my life for Christ, or else I need to give up this game that I'm actually following Jesus because he clearly says that I'm not. So this is a verse where Jesus is basically saying, you're either following me or not, and there's no sitting on the fence. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Mark 8, 34 and 35 and at what Jesus means when he says we have to lose our life to save it. But first, I want to set the context for us a little bit and make one important note about when Jesus is making this statement. The context of this is we find Jesus challenging his disciples with this teaching at the near the end of his public ministry. You find the same basic account, actually, in Matthew and Luke, and also in Mark here. And Jesus is nearing the end of his public ministry, so he's been teaching for a long time. He's been healing people. He's been performing miracles. He's been living with the disciples pretty much for 2.5 years. And now it's time for the disciples to decide if they're really going to follow him. And so right before this, Jesus asks the disciples who they think he is. And in Mark 8:29, we see their response from Peter. It says, Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ." So the disciples confess, yes, Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. He is God. And the next thing that happens in all these accounts and all the Gospels is that Jesus then says, "You're right, that's who I am, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again in 3 days." And so right after that, Peter kind of pulls Jesus aside and says, "Hey, Jesus, you got to cut that out. This is not a good look for us. You're our leader. You're saying you're going to die. This is not looking good for our little group here. You got to stop that." And Jesus, after he gets done calling Peter Satan for that, he turns to all the disciples and he says, "No, you don't know what a good look is for us. In fact," and that's when you see this, Mark 8:34 and 35, "in fact, you need to deny yourself. You need to take up your cross and follow me. And you need to lose your life just like I'm going to lose mine." So that's the context of this verse. And it's decision time for them at that point. And the point that I don't want us to miss here is there's a reason that these challenging verses we're going to look at this morning, they come right after Peter's confession that Jesus is God. Because if Jesus is God, that truth changes everything. It's something we talk all the time about here at Village Church. And so Jesus responds in light of that confession. Yes, Jesus is God. And Jesus responds that if that's true, if he is God, it only makes sense that the disciples better be willing to give their lives up in order to follow him. If Jesus is God, we can't keep living life as usual. If Jesus is willing to lose his life, we better be willing to lose ours. And so now let's look and see what it is that Jesus means when he says we have to lose our life to follow him. So back to Mark 8:34. The first thing that we see there is one part of losing our life to follow Jesus is to deny yourself. It says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself." So my first point this morning is that losing your life requires denying yourself. So what do you have to deny about yourself in order to follow Jesus? Notice that Jesus isn't talking about denying specific things. This is not a call to do without material possessions, though that could come later as a part of the application of what he's saying. But Jesus' call here is much different. He's calling the disciples, and he says anyone who would come after him, to deny their very self. This is about denying what we want. It's about denying our desires, denying the plans that we've made for ourselves apart from following Jesus. Following Jesus is going to mean that we give up desires and goals and plans that don't align with living for Christ. And the reality is that tends to be a whole lot of things when we've built a pretty big life apart from Jesus by the time most of us come to this verse and are truly confronted by it. Denying ourselves is part of the way we lose our life for Jesus because it means letting go of the life that we had and letting our old life die so that we can live a new life in Jesus. And that sounds nice. Letting our old life die, living a new life in Jesus sounds nice until we actually have to give things up. And I think more than anything, denying ourselves means putting every part of our lives on the table for God to change. It means being willing to say no to anything that's taking us away from the mission of Jesus. That requires a great deal of honesty with ourselves and a great deal of self-awareness, and that's hard. And so usually we don't fully consider how much of our old life really needs to be denied to follow Jesus. Denying yourself has a lot to do with the key discipleship concept that we have to prioritize the mission of Jesus and being and building the church. See, we can mentally agree that nothing matters more than seeing souls come to faith. And we can mentally agree that the way that happens is when we practice practically being and building the church. It's God's gathered and scattered people. That's God's plan for reaching the world. We can mentally agree to that. But the difference between that and actually making the hard choices to prioritize that are two very different things. And so saying yes to something in our lives is saying no to a whole host of other things. And Jesus is teaching here that a key part of following him is understanding and learning that we've got to say no to a lot of other things and deny things in our life so that we can say yes to Jesus and his mission. As much as we want to avoid it, the kind of denying yourself Jesus calls out in this passage requires giving things up. How can we honestly say that we're losing our life for Jesus if we're not giving up anything to follow him? His teaching here is clear. In order to follow Jesus, we have to be able to look at our life and identify what it is that we're giving up to follow him. So what part of your life are you letting die so that you can live the life Jesus is calling you to? If we can't answer that question, if we have no thoughts about that, if we have no way to articulate that concept of letting parts of our life die so that we can live Jesus' life, then we're not following him. Giving up your desires and denying yourself is only half of turning and following Jesus. So that's stopping your movement away from him. But the second part of Jesus' call here in 8:34 is to start doing something else. It's to start moving towards him, and it's just as challenging. Jesus says in Mark 8:34 to take up your cross and follow me. So the next thing I want us to see in these verses is that losing your life means living for Jesus. This is the flip side of denying yourself. Losing your life means living for Jesus. There is a movement towards Jesus that is required in this call when he says, take up your cross and follow me. But we generally just like the follow me part, and we don't want to consider what the taking up your cross part means. And it must mean something. This is not an incidental phrase that Jesus just threw in there for the heck of it. He's telling his disciples something specifically about what following him looks like when he says, take up your cross and follow me. He's teaching here on how to follow him. And this is one of those places, again, where that issue of authority pops up, because we want to define for ourselves what following Jesus looks like. We like the idea of following Jesus, as long as we're the ones that get to decide what that means. So we end up with a Jesus who taught some great things. We even believe that he was God's son. We believe that he rose again. We believe he did miracles. This all sounds great, so following him sounds like a great idea. And that kind of following him then leads to an idea that following him means we're a Christian, it means we're moral, if we're really good, we do some church stuff, but other than that, we get to define what following Jesus means. But Jesus is the one with the authority to say what following him means. And in this text, he says following him means taking up your cross. And so we've got to care and know, what does that mean to take up our cross? Realize that to the audience Jesus was talking to, a cross was a very specific thing. They didn't have all the religious connotations of the cross that we have now. The cross means something very different to us now because we're on the other side of the cross. Jesus has been to the cross. We see this, I don't know about you, but I think of love when I see the cross, right? I mean, it's ingrained in us, and that's a good thing. But to the people Jesus was talking to, he hadn't gone to the cross yet. The cross was a method of torture and a death sentence to them. And so for them, the idea of taking up your cross was a symbol of active sacrifice and dying, something that they had to do to lead to dying. And realize this whole set of verses, Jesus' whole big point here, is he's trying to get across, if you want to follow me and find life, you have to lose your old life. So taking up our cross is an active sacrifice that we pursue for the mission of Jesus that causes us to lose our old life. We'll see the same concept later from the Apostle Paul. He in 2 Corinthians 5:15, he'll write this when he says of Jesus, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. We've got this idea of it's no longer us who are living, but now we're living Christ's life. Losing your life means living for Jesus instead of yourself. And this is the essential flip side of denying yourself. What are you denying yourself for? Jesus isn't asking us to give up our old life just to prove our devotion, as if he wants us to suffer to prove our love for him. No, Jesus is asking us to give up our old life because he intends to use our lives for his plans and purposes. So taking up our cross is sacrificing for the mission of Jesus. What does that look like in our lives? How do we practically take up our cross? A few thoughts here. We have to know what Jesus asks us to do in order to sacrifice for him. So part of taking up our cross means choosing to obey Scripture no matter what. And again, this is the theme this morning. That sounds nice. But the idea of choosing to obey Scripture no matter what is completely meaningless unless we also commit to knowing Scripture. So there's a lot of sacrifice involved in that. We have to sacrifice to get Scripture into us, to read it, to study it, to put ourselves in environments where we can know what it is that Jesus is asking of us. I can't think of anything more important than that, because every other practical application of sacrificing for God and his mission is going to just be an application of Scripture. So taking up our cross to follow Jesus also looks like serving. Serving requires sacrifice. It can't be done just in our spare time when nothing better comes up. Taking up our cross means prioritizing discipleship in our lives. Are we being discipled? Are we discipling others? We have to sacrifice. It's not just going to happen again in our spare time. If we have a family, taking up our cross means prioritizing discipling our family. It means loving them. It means doing the things that need to be done to see them flourish, and that takes sacrifice. Taking up our cross means sacrificing to build the church, because the church is God's plan for mission. It means serving and being present and believing God that the gathered church is more important than most anything else we could be doing with our lives. Taking up our cross means seeing the world through the lens of mission, and that takes an active sacrifice of time that none of us think that we have. So Jesus' basic call in Mark 8:34 is this: if you're going to you're going to have to start saying no to your old life that was all about yourself, so that you can start saying yes to a new life that's all about me. That's how you lose your life. Then in Mark 8:35, Jesus gets right to the big point that he's trying to make. He says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." So there's one key aspect to this that Jesus throws in the mix here in verse 35 that really does change this whole conversation. He doesn't just leave this as some noble act of self-sacrifice for a greater cause where we need to lose our life. Rather, God loves us, God wants the best for us, and Jesus knows that the big truth is losing your life is the only way to save it. That's a profound and life-altering truth if we'll let that get into us. Losing your life is the only way to save it. What we've talked about today, it might sound heavy, it might sound like a big ask. Jesus says we need to lose our life. That's about big of an ask as you can get. But if you can get a moment of clarity here, you'll realize that what Jesus offers is a life raft. It's your way out. It's your only way out. So here's some basic Orthodox Christian doctrine for you. The life that you've built for yourself, apart from the mission of Jesus, that life is a waste. It's meaningless. There's really nothing of any significance in light of eternity in your life. Even all the good things that you think that you have will be gone pretty soon, and then you'll die. And statistics show that almost all your great-grandchildren won't know your first name. So that's the reality of our life. And on top of all that, we're sinners. And no one is currently busy trying to mess up our lives worse than we are. But the good news is that God's story is not meaningless. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. All of history is headed towards bringing God glory. And we have to realize we're much, much better off playing an insignificant, unremarkable part in God's story than we are trying to write our own story. We're much better off being faithful, unnamed extras in God's story than we are trying to be the hero of our own story. Because one of those stories is real and will last forever, and the other story dies with us. And so our only hope in getting out of our own way is following Jesus and following what he's doing. So Jesus' call to lose our life, it sounds hard, but it's a call to hope if we really understand what our life really is. Living for yourself will always ultimately fail. Hoarding your life for yourself will always ultimately leave you empty because you can't keep it. But living for God will always ultimately succeed. Giving your life for others to know God will always leave you full because it's the only thing that truly lasts. So we have to lose our life to save it. It's an amazing truth. It's a truth that leaves us with a decision to make. If you've never wrestled with that, if you've not thought about it, you need to. But so I hope that happens. I hope that we're wrestling with the thought of, have I really lost my life? Is that really what Jesus is calling you? I hope if you're submitting to the authority of Scripture, you agree, yes, Jesus is clearly calling me to lose my life. But I know a large part of us this morning does agree with that. You do submit to Scripture. You do have faith in Jesus. You do agree that losing your life is the best way to save it. But you wonder, how can I know if I'm really doing that? That's the question. How do I know if I am really losing my life? How can I learn to lose my life to save it? And so I want to run through some quick thoughts on that this morning. You know you're losing your life when you can't go back. But if you're playing this game of having one foot in your old life and one foot in your new life, you're not losing your life. And so I know as I'm pastoring people and discipling them, one thing that comes up quite a bit is you need to make some hard changes and hard moves that make it impossible to go back to your old life. So what needs to happen to cut off the possibility of going back. You need to follow Jesus. Steve mentioned in a passage a few weeks ago, no one who puts their hand to the plow and turns back is worthy of the kingdom. That's what that's talking about there. Stop looking at your old life. You're losing your life when your life looks weird. If your life looks a lot like your nominal Christian neighbors who say that they're Christians but don't know anything about the mission of Jesus and aren't building the local church, that's not good. Your life needs to look a little weird to people that don't know Jesus. This is a real struggle for a lot of us, and I realize that. You're too afraid of looking weird to people who Scripture say are fools because they don't believe Jesus is God. And you're not going to figure out how to lose your life until you just frankly get over that. We've got to be okay looking weird to a world that doesn't believe Jesus is God. If Jesus is God, it changes everything. You know you're losing your life when you don't settle for good enough. I can't tell you how many people I've run into pastorally in the last 10 years of pastoral ministry who are just content and settled for good enough in their Christian walk. And they've come a long way, admittedly. I don't even disagree with that, from where they were. But now they're good enough. They don't need to study God's word. They don't need to learn more because they're good enough. They know they could disciple their kids more, but they feel like they turned out okay without that, and so it's good enough. Could go on and on. Don't be satisfied with a good enough life following Jesus. That's not losing your life. I think Jesus' teaching about losing your life is a direct challenge to that kind of thinking. If you're aware of an area, any area where you need to grow in, and there are many for each of us, there's no good enough when it comes to laying our life down and following Jesus. We always want more of his life and less of our own. I think one of the ways you can know you're losing your life is when your life is arranged and organized around being and building the church. So I've touched on this a few times already this morning. It's a whole other sermon to really talk about what being and building the church is, but that is God's plan for mission. We are the church, and we have to actively build the church, and that means both building up the people of the church, and it means mission and evangelism that adds people to the church. I think there's something really significant there in Mark 8:35. Jesus didn't just say, lose our life for his sake. He also added, and the gospels. And so the issue of authority comes up again because we want to define, even when we get to this point, we want to define what losing our life looks like. So we can assent that, yes, we need to lose our life for Jesus, and then we want to define what that looks like. But Jesus hasn't allowed us to do that. He's telling us what losing our life looks like. It means living for his sake and the gospels. That means living for what Jesus cares about. He cares about the gospel, the good news of his death and resurrection that reconciles us to God. And that good news is what builds the church. So he's telling us here where to put our focus. He's saying being and building the church can't just be the priority of the pastors and a few super Christians. It's everyone who's a follower of Jesus needs to be about him and the gospel, being and building the church. We're all called to pour our lives out to see people, the people of God flourish and see the gospel proclaimed through the church. Finally, and maybe this is most important, I think that you're losing your life when you actively seek to submit to and obey Scripture. And ultimately, this morning is about submitting to God's authority and his word. And we play games with God's word far too often. We say it's too complicated. It's not too complicated. We say it's too hard to understand. It's not too hard to understand. Someone who's losing their life for Christ is not passive about obeying God's word. We do what we have to do to learn it more. We care about the implications of what it says. We don't look for loopholes on how to get by with the least amount of obedience possible in submission to God's word. Losing our life means we're active in seeking to submit to and to obey Scripture. So I think that's a really important part of seeking to lose your life. Do you just wait for Scripture to be fed to you, or are you active to go get it? We've seen that losing your life is first about denying yourself. It's about turning from your old life. And then the second thing losing your life is about is taking up your cross and following. So it's an active movement towards God and sacrifice for him and his mission. So Jesus teaches that it's both about what you turn from and stop doing, and it's what you turn towards and start doing. But what we need to be careful about is taking this teaching and turning it into some kind of works-based formula of give up these things and do these things and you'll be good with God, because that's not his intention here. At the end of the day, Jesus is teaching about self-denial and active sacrifice, which is absolutely in this text. It's not about getting you to do more Christian stuff. That's a byproduct of a changed heart, and that's evidence of a changed heart, but Jesus' goal is a changed heart. And the danger here is that there's a way to do a lot of things for Jesus without actually losing your life for him. There's a way to deny a few things to check off the deny box. There's a way to sacrifice a few things to check off the sacrifice box and not actually have a heart change of losing your life for God. One of the biggest ways I think we know that we've really lost our lives for Jesus is when you're living differently and serving God, not because of any obligation or commitment, but because it's what you truly want to be doing, because you believe it's the best way to be spending your life. And you know you really believe it when you're doing that joyfully, not out of obligation, not out of commitment. That's how you know you believe it. I think you can tell a big difference between a person who owns the mission of Jesus as their own life mission and someone who's just checking off religious tasks. That doesn't mean that sacrifice is always fun, but I will tell you, sacrifice should not be a burden when you're sacrificing for something greater. Haven't you met people who sacrifice a lot for God and it doesn't seem to be a burden for them? Doesn't mean it's easy, but it's not a burden. It's because they really believe that that's the way to true life. So when the mission of Jesus is your life mission always, also, you're always about it. You don't have to be told to serve. You don't have to be told to disciple. You don't have to be told to learn more about God. You don't have to be told to have different priorities in the world with your family and your career and your education and your hobbies and your leisure and your money. You don't have to be told any of this when you're losing your life for God. That's the life that you want. That's his life. The call to lose your life is a clarifying challenge, and it should be challenging to us. There's no option to halfway follow here. Jesus doesn't say, if you lose some of your life, you'll save some of your life. For the disciples, this was either you're with me or you're not. And it's supposed to be the same thing, too, if we come to the text seriously with the authority that it's supposed to have. We have to lose our life to truly find our life in God. If Jesus isn't God, we're wasting our time playing around with religion. But if Jesus is God, then what he says here has to be taken seriously. So this is a hard challenge, and it's supposed to be hard. If it doesn't challenge you when Jesus says things like this, that's when I'm concerned. That's when I'm a little bit worried about you, if you come to passages like this and aren't challenged. This is supposed to mean something to us. So I challenge you to be challenged. Make sure that this text is challenging you. But some of you I know in this room are overwhelmed by this challenge because you do take it seriously. And you, I'm not worried about. I'm really not. But I do want to encourage you. Don't get hung up on all the details of the scope of the mission that God has called us to. Remember that this is ultimately about a changed heart. But do feel this as God's gracious tug to move you with him. Think about taking a step. Figure out the step that you need to take. Identify where God is working and move to lose more of your life. That needs to be a lifelong posture. The grace of God is not an excuse that allows us to stay where we are. God's grace is the thing that lifts the weights off our back and allows us to truly move towards him. If this feels overwhelming to you, like you can't do it, of course you don't measure up to what Jesus is asking of you here. That's the whole point. You need his life, not your own. So working on losing our lives for the sake of Jesus and for his gospel is a task that will consume us for the rest of our life. We'll never fully arrive, but we do need to have this as our goal and our direction. We need to keep striving to lose our life more and more and more. That is what followers of Jesus do. That's what Christians do. So as the band comes up this morning, we're going to move into communion, and we take communion each and every week here at Village Church. And the tables are open to you if you're a follower of Jesus. The bread represents Christ's body broken for you. The juice represents Christ's blood and his life coming into you. It's a great time to reflect on what we've talked about this morning. This is Jesus' life. You need to let your old life die. You need to take Jesus' new life into you. That's the life you want. Lose your life for that. So with that, when you're ready, please come and take communion.